Okay, good morning. In a continuation of our study of the book of Acts, today we're in Acts 22. What I want to do is actually just read this straight through, and then we'll come back and study it. And to read it straight through, I'm going to start at the end of chapter 21, starting in verse 39, because it does just kind of flow right into 22. So Acts 21, 39, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, and ye are all this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was free born. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands, and commanded the chief priest and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. And that's the end of the chapter. Okay, a whole lot there. Enough so. I need to take a quick drink. Then we'll go back and study what we just read. All right, Acts 22. Obviously, Paul is referring back to his conversion back in Acts chapter 9. Okay, now, Acts chapter 22, we're around AD 58, about 25 years after Paul was saved. Okay? So 25 years he's been out there preaching, teaching, and here we come to Acts 22. And of course, there's going to be a whole journey here through the end of the chapter that's going to take us... we'll just continue the study as we're going here. So just to put the time frame here, it's about 25 years after, but he's talking about his conversion experience on the road to Damascus back in Acts chapter 9. So let's go back. It obviously put a marker or something there in Acts 22, but go back to Acts 9. And when you compare the two passages, it really helps explain some things. You know, some things you say, well, that may not be totally clear, but you put the two together and you get a more full explanation. Since Paul mentions the stoning of Stephen, let's just grab that at the end of Acts 7. So Acts 7, verse 58, this is the conclusion of the stoning of Stephen. And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Okay, and they stoned Stephen. Okay, so there we go. There's the stoning of Stephen. Then, chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, just as he told us in Acts 22. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. Come down to verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, and remember, in your King James Bible, it'll say this way and that way. Go to most other versions, it's always going to say the way, if I find any of the way. They're always trying to make both into one, once again. But it's this way and that way for a reason, praise the Lord. Yeah. This way is a reference to the doctrine and to the church that Peter and the 12 are starting after the ascension of Christ into heaven. That way is a reference to the doctrine and the church, which is the body of Christ, as started by the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. So you won't see that way before Acts 9, but after this you will see a reference to that way. All right, so right here in verse 2 of chapter 9, in the middle there, that if he found any of this way, matter of fact, in, even here in Nelson, in, you know, they've got next to this, they've got a number 1 there, and in the middle column, it says the. How about that? That's why you've got to be careful of following the notes,
footnotes.
References. Yeah, the footnotes, references, they're not always true. That is a man putting them in there. That's not part of King James. That's your publisher putting his thoughts in there. Okay, just let the King James say what it says. Okay, so anyway, this way, verse 2, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Okay, and you're going to get Paul, or you're going to have, so that's the initial account right here that Paul just referenced in chapter 22. So we're just getting some context here. But the key, I think, a main key is verse 1. Where did Paul have this authority to go commit these people to prison?
High priest.
The high priest. Okay, you can't miss that. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, verse 2, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Was Paul an antichrist?
Yeah. Yes.
So he was definitely against the church that Peter and the 12 were starting. Was Paul an anti-Jew, if you will, anti-Jewish religion?
Nay.
He thought he was doing it in the name of religion. Paul was a Jew of the Jews. He followed the law. He was an extremely religious man. Paul was, but a very religious Jew according to Old Testament law. Paul saw what Peter and the 12 were starting here as contrary, as extremely contrary to the teachings of God Almighty Himself. He thought he was, if you will, doing God a favor.
Yeah. Doing God's work.
Doing God's work, no less.
In the Jewish religion, okay, did they believe about, was it also where you can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely. So good question. I'm going to maybe rephrase your question a little bit. So at this point, Acts chapter 9, as that starts, at this point, what Christ said back in the book of Matthew about blasphemy, it shall be for the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. It shall neither be forgiven men in this world nor in the world to come. Blasphemy was the unpardonable sin.
In the Jewish religion.
In
what Paul believed in.
Yeah, she's talking about the...
So yes.
No. Like, Paul, you said that Paul didn't believe in Peter's gospel because he was backing up the Jewish religion. Is that right? And that's why he killed people.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Correct.
So what he had believed in that gospel, the law, was there a law about blaspheming the Holy Spirit?
I don't think they even knew about the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think back there. Would that even have been said yet? It was said by Christ in Matthew 19.
That's when it was first said, wasn't it?
Okay, I just wanted to know if,
probably,
if that was back...
Because other than that, it was the ordinance.
Yeah.
In the old.
Where it would have been would be like in the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
But as far as blasphemy itself,
Jerry, I'm going to have to look into that one further. I don't think until Christ said it was it ever said.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just curious.
There was blasphemy, but not the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be blaspheme God, blaspheme the Holy Ghost?
No, because he actually says... Actually, so let's go back there and look. Matthew 19. No, because he differentiates all three, as a matter of fact. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
In Matthew 19?
Yes. Whoops, I've given you the wrong
12.
Passage. Thank you. Matthew 12.
So the question is,
was blasphemy
originally
a part of the law, or was it preached in Christ's ministry?
Yes.
So in chapter 12, verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto them. Now watch in 32, he's going to differentiate all three. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
Okay,
so you could blaspheme the Son, but you can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Back there. Paul...
But that wouldn't even have happened until Acts, when they would comfort her.
Yeah, so Paul ends up blaspheming the Holy Ghost in Acts 7, right there at the stoning of Stephen. Okay? Let's go there now, Acts 7. So first of all, are we good there in Matthew? That passage? Everybody good there? Let's go to Acts 7. These are great questions. Acts 7. All right, now we're going to look at some of the things that Stephen says to these men of Israel that are standing there getting ready to stone him. Verse 51. He says to them, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." Okay, so make no mistake, what's about to happen here is blaspheming the Holy Ghost. All right, now come over to verse 60. "And he," which would be Stephen, "and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Lay not this sin to their charge? What sin? The sin in verse 51. "Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." That was of concern to Stephen because he knew they could be forgiven neither in this world nor in the world to come. "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Wow. Even men stoning him, he still has that concern for their eternal life. How about that? Wow. Talk about love for your brethren. Talk about love for your enemies, for that matter. "The men that are stoning me, Lord, lay not this blasphemy against their charge." Allow them to be saved, if you will. And that's why when Paul says now go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is what makes this statement so incredible. Verse 12, 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious." He says he was a blasphemer, and he was, right there at Acts 7 that we just read. Therefore, back at that time, right there at Acts 7, Paul could not be saved neither in this world nor in the world to come unless something changed and a new gospel came into effect. If we keep reading in 1 Timothy 1, if we come down to verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I am chief, yeah, because of what I said in verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer? I'm the chief of all sinners.
Well, so he didn't know that while he was doing the bad deed, was he?
Matter of fact, where does he say it? Right there at the end of verse 13. So let's read all the 13, Jerry. "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." No, he did not know at that time. It was unbelief. He was not a believer at the time. He was, like I said, he thought he was still...
He was Antichrist.
He thought he was doing it for God. I'm protecting
under the Jewish
the doctrine of God for what we've studied for the last 1,500 years. And it's been in place for 1,500 years. How dare this guy Peter and these 12 men start something new, some new doctrine, some new church that's contrary to Jewish law? And that's what he thought Peter and the 12 were doing. And that's why he's going and throwing them into jail. Now, not just throwing them into jail. So here's one of the points of our study today in Acts 22 also. Now, we got into Paul right there. So are we good about blasphemy? Paul committed blasphemy right there at the end of Acts 7.
Before it started.
Okay. But yet he's still going to get saved in Acts 9 by the gospel of Christ. Okay. So now back to Acts 22. I want you to see that he had these people put to death. Now, in Acts 9, it doesn't say that way.
Consistent.
But Paul here in his accounting of it in Acts 22, where it's his words. Okay, verse 4. So I'm in Acts 22, and I'm going to verse 4. And Paul says, "And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." Keep your hand here. The third place you have in the book of Acts that's a reference to the road to Damascus, his conversion, is chapter 26. So come over to chapter 26 and watch how he says this in verse 10. And he says, "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." Okay, make no mistake about it. Paul was a key witness in having these people put to death. These people. Who are these people? Those following this way. Those following Peter and the other 11 apostles. The kingdom church that was started in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost. That church, this way, Paul was having those people that were following this way put to death, which is why they're all scattered abroad in Acts 8. Question?
I was just going to say that all from the simple fact of not receiving the fact that Christ was the Messiah.
Exactly. That was the root. They did not accept Christ as the Messiah. That was exactly it. Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. Right?
But that penalty, at the point the penalty went and was placed into effect, would have been in Acts 1 where the Comforter shows up? Or would it have been at the cross? After the cross, after the resurrection, ascension, I should say.
Well, chapter 12 of Matthew is where we read it, so it would be in effect right there?
Yeah, but he had died, yeah. I'm talking about the penalty of it.
I think the second, he didn't say this is going to be a future.
When he said it.
You know, right, from that point forward, I don't think God.
The Holy Ghost didn't show up till the Comforter.
Okay, now Acts 2 is where the first place where any of those men get the Holy Ghost. Okay, but still, you're still blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Yes.
Where's the origin of saying that this way means this and that?
Where is the origin of it?
Where's that come from?
Or a good example.
Like how do you make that determination?
If you study that out, you'll just see it every time.
Maybe we could do a study on that.
But it's primarily Book of Acts.
Okay.
In fact, I'm trying to think if it is even outside the Book of Acts. But in the book of Acts, that's consistent throughout. You will see that. So just know every time you're studying your Bible, when you see this way, that's a reference to the doctrine of Peter and the 12, and that way is a reference to Paul's doctrine.
And that way is not in Acts, it's in his epistles.
That say that way. Again?
The phrase "that way" is not in Acts, is it? This way is in Acts.
No, that way is in Acts also.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go back to Acts 22 now. I want you to see that just how serious Paul was taking his commission here. Okay, Acts 9, his road to Damascus. He goes to the high priest at the synagogue, gets letters so that when he gets to these other towns, he can show the authority that by which he's there. Look, here's a letter from the high priest of the temple. It allows me to take these men studying this way and bind them, put them in handcuffs. I'm going to bring them back to Jerusalem, and we're going to try them. And basically, that was almost his trial and conviction of blasphemy in his mind against this doctrine back here, Old Testament doctrine. That he was defending. It's exactly what was going on there. Okay, so in Acts 22, so in verse 4, when he says committing him unto death, I mean, he meant to death. Verse 5, and as the high priest doth bear me witness and all the estate of the elders, so again, the high priest, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And that's just as we were talking there. So let's get up to date here. Verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon. So that's key right there too. This is noon when this is about to happen. Paul's conversion. Okay, at noon. So when it says the next phrase, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and it's noon, I'd say it had to be a pretty great light to make a difference.
It shows that it's a separate light.
Exactly. It's a separate light from the sunshine that's there already. Yeah. It's noon. Okay? Doesn't get much brighter than that, right? The noonday sun.
And others saw it too.
And others saw the light, absolutely. Now, which gets us, well, I'm about a verse or two ahead of me. Round about me, verse 7. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Now watch verse 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, as Peter was just saying there, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. All right, let's go back to the Acts 9 accounting about what they heard. In Acts 9, watch how it says it in verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So they heard a voice, it says in verse 7 of chapter 9. Acts 22, also verse 9, says, and they and they were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Okay, so putting those two together, they heard the sounds, but they didn't know what he was saying. Okay, they didn't hear what that voice was saying to Paul, the words. Okay, so they could hear the noise, if you will, to them, putting putting these together. Right? It just helps further understand. Okay? When you get another accounting of the story. When you get almost two people's blow by blow. Here it's Paul telling it. In Acts chapter 9, it's never Paul telling that story. It is Luke writing about that story.
Okay? So this was the Holy Ghost speaking, yet nobody there had the Holy Ghost, so they couldn't. They hadn't received it. As in verses, if you go back and you compare that to when the rushing mighty wind happened back there.
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing that would be exactly what happened here. The rushing mighty wind happened. The voice came out, but nobody was filled with any...
Well, no, because this was strictly for Paul.
I understand.
Yeah, this was strictly for Paul in Acts 9. This is Paul's conversion. This is the Lord appearing unto Paul, and... And so when he is speaking to Paul, the men, the other men that are traveling with Paul, they see the light, they hear something that's going on, but they don't hear the words that are being spoken to Paul. They can't differentiate the words. It's just a noise to them. You know, they're hearing a voice. It's obvious somebody, okay, there's a voice, somebody's talking to somebody, but what's being said here? They don't hear. It wasn't for them, right? That was the Lord's appearing unto Paul. Those men were just witnesses of it, if you will. Okay?
But you're comparing Acts 9 and Acts 22 right now?
Yes.
That's amazing that both are verse 9, huh?
Isn't that something? Just a coincidence.
Yeah,
Brian,
come on. I know.
Let's study numbers.
I know you're one of those learnings.
Well, we're studying numbers, actually. Since we're in Acts 20. So back to Acts 22. Anybody know what the number 2 is? You know, what word goes with the number 2?
No.
Division. I was waiting for one out of you on that one.
I was going to say something.
Yeah,
I
was going to say
something.
I can just tell by your face. Okay, the number two is division. It's the number of division. Okay, so Acts 22, verse 22. Watch this. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Okay? Kind of interesting. You kind of see a division there, don't you? Anyway. So back to where we are in 22, though. So that was verse 9. So coming to verse 10. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, remember he was blinded for 3 days, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. So there's a phrase you could bring back to Acts 9 to help further define Ananias. Okay, he's a devout man according to the law. Okay, that's who this man Ananias is. So Ananias says in verse 13, you know, brother Saul, receive thy sight. The same hour I looked upon him. He said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Right, and back in Acts 9, that same word is used back there, chosen. Okay, and Paul said, a chosen vessel is how the Bible will refer to him in other places. Has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Romans to Philemon. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. By the way, we're no longer in Acts 9 now. We just left that time period of Acts 9.
Oh, okay.
Paul, I mean, referring back. He's now referring back somewhere else, but not the Acts 9 period anymore. And I said, verse 19, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beaten every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And that's just one of those phrases you need to have underlined in your Bible for sure. At the end of verse 21, for I will send thee, 21, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Far hence, Gentiles. Okay, and there's a major difference like in Ephesians 2. The far hence Gentiles. There are those Gentiles that did understand the promise to Abraham, that did align themselves with the covenants of promise, that were aligned as friends of Israel. Far hence Gentiles would be aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Okay, having no hope. Okay, they were not aligned with. So the two types of Gentiles, members we've studied, like especially Ephesians 2, right? Those who first trusted, we who also trust, or ye who also trusted, Ephesians 1, excuse me. Ye who first trusted, we who first trusted in Christ, ye who also trusted, ye far hence Gentiles. Okay? Question on that?
So what are
good.
Three groups or two?
Two. Thank you.
So those are
two groups of Gentiles. During the book of Acts, all even up here at 22, all these Gentiles that Paul would have been preaching to would have been aligned with Israel. Paul was always going to the synagogue first. Just keep your hand here. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 2 says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Catch the end of verse 1. "Where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them." Paul always went to the synagogue when he got to a new town, went in there. So what type of Gentile would have been there? Those that were aligning themselves with Israel. Okay, they would not have been far hence Gentiles.
Yeah, those that would have been able to get into the synagogue.
Yes. Yes.
Wait, Gentiles can go into the
synagogue? Synagogues, yes. Temple, no.
Oh.
The temple, Gentiles were not allowed in. Matter of fact, we saw that last week. Let's jump ahead to Acts 21 now. Remember in Acts 21, that's why Paul's kind of bound right now. They thought he brought a Gentile into the temple in Jerusalem. In verse 27, in the middle there, "When they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him." Verse 28, crying out. So I'm in Acts 21, 28. "Crying out, 'Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place.'" You bring Greeks, Gentiles, into the temple, you'd be polluting it. It was unlawful. Okay? And so that's how this passage in 22 starts.
Now that would have been... who would that have been?
That they brought into the...
Yeah.
No, he didn't bring anybody in.
Oh, okay. They're just,
they thought he did.
They're lying.
Basically.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between a synagogue and a temple then?
A synagogue would be any... So the temple is in Jerusalem.
Okay.
That's like the chief of all synagogues is the temple in Jerusalem. To this day, that's the holy place.
Vatican.
Yeah, much like the Vatican too. What's the difference between the Vatican and a Catholic church would be the same analogy. Thank
money.
You, great one, whoever said that back there. Okay? Money. There's just more of it. It all goes to the... Anyway.
Corruption.
So yeah, it's the temple was the place. And, okay, so, thanks. Good questions. So now in 22, back to chapter 22. We good? Okay. I don't know if that was a spill with it or not.
I don't know.
19, "And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Okay, I'll get caught up here. "I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word." What was this word? What word?
Could it send thee far hence?
That's Jesus' word.
So, verse 22 again. "And they gave him audience unto this word." What was it that Paul said? What word? In verse...
Gentiles.
Let's go back to 21. "And he said unto them... Depart, or and he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him an audience unto this word."
What he just said.
What he just said, that he would send them far hence unto the Gentiles. Thank you. That's key that you get that. Okay? Wait a minute.
That's new. Let's hear it.
Wait a minute. Genesis, chapter Genesis chapter 12, this guy Abraham, "I'll bless them that bless thee, I'll curse them that curse thee, I'm going to make thee a father of many nations, thou shalt be a chosen people unto me," and starting there forward, they're the people. They are God's chosen people. And all of a sudden here in Acts Of course, again, we're still... So in Acts 22, when these Jews hear Paul say, Christ said, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. What, are you kidding me? What's been going on for 1,500 years? And you think you got a new message now, huh, Paul? Well, yes, he did. And that's what he is telling them. Look, guys, 25 years ago, I was on the road to Damascus to throw a bunch of you into jail. Those that were following Peter and the 12 into jail, having committed unto death. It was a bright light. Here's the voice I heard. Here's what the voice said. And basically, they're calling him a liar here. They're not accepting
him. Because they want to refuse the Messiah.
They've already refused the Messiah, and they want to continue receiving him. They've got to make a choice. Either I believe what you said, things have changed.
My emphasis, though, was it was always not so much what Paul was trying to preach to them. It was their dogmatic ignorance of the prophecy and not accepting that Christ was the Messiah referred to in Isaiah and all that. It was their, just stubbornness in saying that this is not the Messiah. He's just another prophet.
Right.
There's people like that now.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the Jewish belief right now, right?
No, there's people like
that now that they don't believe that he's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They believe he was a teacher.
Yeah.
No question. No question. Or for that matter, there's people now that won't take what the Bible says about the new dispensation that would have been started by Paul. Everybody's always a dispensation behind. Throughout the Bible, people have been a dispensation behind. I'll go there now. But yes, I will. So there's a good chance that when this dispensation ends, how does it end?
Rapture.
Rapture of the church, calling out the body of Christ. We know not when that will be. Could be tonight, could be 100 years from now. Whenever it happens, the next dispensation starts, which is this 7-year period of great tribulation. And you can see it right now. How is the Antichrist going to confuse the masses there, the religious people? He's going to show them, he's going to open their eyes to the grace message, to the dispensation of grace. And people are going to start thinking, look at what this guy Paul preaches. Look how easy salvation is. Yeah, that was last dispensation. That one ended.
It'll be too late.
It'll be 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
That'll be the strong delusion.
Those are the people that will be the strong delusion. And in fact, let's just go there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let the Bible say what it says. So this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that we're about to read is reference to the tribulation period. Let me complete the diagram up here. So if this is Acts 28, dispensation of the grace of God, ends with the rapture of the church, begins the 7-year period of great tribulation, ends with the second coming, set up his 1,000-year reign on earth. Whoa.
It makes you go, whoa.
Lost the weight there. So the dispensation of the grace of God. Okay, so 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're here in this period, or Paul is referring to this period. So watch what he says in verse 11 of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. And he says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." So God's sending them a delusion that they'll believe a lie. Verse 12, "that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Wow. Verse 11 starts out with, "and for this cause." Well, what's the cause? Verse 10, "and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish," so who's perishing? Next phrase, "because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Wow. He says, come on, you live in the dispensation of the grace of God. I'm giving you a free gift. I had this guy Paul come out and share with you the gospel of Christ. He's the one that helped you see that when I let my son die on that cross and shed his blood, he was paying the penalty for your sins. And he took your sins to hell for 3 days. And he left them there. And on the third day, God the Father raised him for your justification. And I gave you that gift. And all you had to do is accept that gift. Receive that gift. And here in verse 10, it says they receive not the love of the truth. You either receive it or you receive it not. You receive it, eternal salvation, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1:13. Receive it not, here's the other end result. It's 2 Thessalonians 2:10, 11, and 12. Receive it not, okay, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It is. It's salvation. It's that simple. You receive it. But guess what? If you're not receiving, that means by default you are receiving it not.
Rejecting it.
You're rejecting it. Receive not is to reject. But it is that easy. So, we get the rapture happens. We get out here in this time period. And people start seeing Romans to Philemon. And they can get all caught up in it. It's in the Bible. Here's the gospel of Christ. But that dispensation will be over. That was last dispensation. That's the key. The masses have always been a dispensation behind. And I think so they will be at that point. And that'll be one way. Because in this point, it's Hebrews through Revelation. I will come right to you there, brother.
Sure.
Hebrews. And go to Hebrews. Hebrews through Revelation is the doctrine for the church at that time. Which is basically an extenuation of what Peter was beginning to preach in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In that time period, it's this same doctrine here.
It's picked up.
Picked up. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. I just want you to see something here. Do we have eternal security today?
Yes,
we do. Amen, we sure do. Claim that. Ephesians 1:13, when we're saved, we're sealed. How long are we sealed? Until the day of redemption. Thank you. Glad. I love when I see people, you know, quoting it too. Watch this man in Hebrews chapter 10. Watch what it says here in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Wow.
No different.
They can lose their salvation. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Watch how it says it over here. Verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4 says, for it is impossible. Impossible is a pretty strong word. For those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Are we talking about believers at that time period? Yes, we are. Verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. They lose it, they're done. And Jerry's kind of like the blasphemy back there. You know, once they commit it, they're done. Here, if they were part of the church, if they were a believer, and then they do something to lose that position, it's impossible to renew them again. Period. Impossible. No option. All right, now, chances are they've taken the mark of the beast. Right? And that's why in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, they're selling out, having all things common. But they do not have eternal security. They can lose it. And furthermore, when they lose it, they don't have a chance to get it a second time. Okay, Peter, thanks for letting me finish the thought.
It's okay. I'll study that later. Question
Maybe it'll remind you here. Yes, sir.
So I have a question about all this dispensational stuff going on. Jesus came to teach the 12 about a dispensation, correct?
Correct.
And that was different from the Jews, correct?
Correct.
And then also Paul had his own dispensation, which is different than both of those.
Correct.
Okay. So what happened to the one with like the 12 that just be its own thing? Or?
In a sense, it gets put on hold.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah, so dispensations usually come to a firm end and the next one starts. Mm-hmm. In Acts 2, actually, if we... So in Acts chapter 2, Peter and the 12 start a church here. It's called the Kingdom Church. And you hear people use that term today. So they get on with this church, and they're starting with it, okay? And actually, let me just make that a circle.
The Kingdom Hall.
And it, I'm going to say it's gradually falling off until the end of Acts 28 here, is where it ends right there, terminates. And this is confined pretty much to Jerusalem with Peter and the 12. Because in Acts, and then in Acts 9 is where the church, which is the body of Christ, starts. We looked at that last week in Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians, the church which is his body. So it starts right here in Acts 9. So it, I didn't want to get too many circles and everything going. When it starts here, this one starts increasing so that when we get to Acts 28, Ephesians chapter 3 calls it the dispensation of the grace of God. That's the only church that's going on here. You did have both of these coinciding for about 25, 30 years. But that's the only time. You couldn't be in one or the other. But that's why Paul said, He never went and preached to any of these people. He tells us that in Romans chapter 9, chapter 11, that Paul never built upon another man's foundation.
Yeah. So the end of that, and then the end of the dispensation Clayton's just talking about, which would the 12, would have been their death.
Hold on one thought here. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 20, he says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." All right? And then when we were studying the book of Acts, back here in Acts chapter 16, so Paul says he never preached where the 12 were, right? Watch in Acts 16 now. You'll see good observation of that behavior. Okay, so in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden," your Bible says, "were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed unto him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" So here Paul tried to go to a couple places in Asia, and it said the Spirit, in verse 6, it says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. In verse 7, it said, "But the Spirit suffered them not." He wasn't allowed to go talk to those people. Well, why would there be certain people he wasn't allowed to talk to? Because he had a different gospel for a different people. Those people were the people that Peter was preaching to. Look in verse 7 there. They assayed to go into where? Bithynia? Bithynia? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Remember that name there, Bithynia. 1 Peter, chapter 1. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, just a couple books before Revelation there. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it's okay. We're going to take a minute because this is important to see it. Oh, we see the words in the Bible.
Page 1509.
Yeah. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered abroad throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and where? Bithynia. Yeah, the same Bithynia in Acts 16, verse 7. That's who Peter's writing to. And Paul said, I never went to the same people, I never preached to them, lest I build upon another man's foundation. There were two churches going on for a time period. Okay, nowhere else, I believe, in the Bible are there different churches going on consecutively.
Always allowing for people to receive the kingdom message, and though they were not, as Paul's message was preached to the Gentiles, took over.
What was the last part?
Took over up until 28, where it was just, okay, so it's been total rejection, so here we move forward to the Gentiles.
Yeah, and basically, so this church that Peter and the 12 started, once, and if you notice, it's about 25, 30 years, almost a generation, and when that generation's dead, that ends. It happens to coincide with the end of Acts 28. That no longer, so the only people that could believe that, and again, this was confined to Jerusalem.
Okay. Is it Jews or is it Gentiles?
It's Jews. Okay. It is Jews. It's strictly Jews. Okay? And that is what will pick up out here in Hebrews throughout Revelation. The Jews will pick back up again. They'll be God's chosen people. They will understand this is all the problem.